Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz, episode 37, for Friday, August 22nd, 2008. Laconica. This show is brought to you by listeners like you and your contributions. We couldn't do it without you. Thanks so much. It's time for Floss Weekly. I love that theme, Randall. You know where that theme came from? Floss Weekly. Floss. You know where that came from?
No, I don't, but I want a copy of it. You must put it up on your website.
I'll send it. Yeah, you know, another thing I got to do, which is put all those themes and things. But that's Jeff Robbins of Lullabot, the big Drupal designer. He was in a band many years ago, a very well-known band called Orbit.
Uh-huh.
And so he's a musician as well as a Drupal guy.
Okay.
And ages ago, back when it was the Chris DeBona show, he said, you know, you guys need a better theme. And he did that for us. Floss, mm-hmm. Wiggly. So that's a professional recording.
Ah, as opposed to the little ones I do when I'm just singing The Rainbow Connection is Kermit the Frog. Yes, I know.
I have a recording of that, and we will use it against you, I promise. Randall Schwartz, welcome back. Actually, I should welcome myself back because I've been the one missing from Floss Weekly for the last couple of weeks. Thank you for your great work at OSCON.
That was wonderful at OSCON, and it was so fun walking up to people and saying, you know, and you know what? I was wearing, you put like little sticky tags below your name tag there, and I put Floss Weekly there, and people were walking up to me and saying, I love your show. This is a great show. And so I'm really happy to be participating with you and having this happen. In fact, I was at a party one evening. Imagine that, me at a party, but I was at a party one evening, and as I'm going around introducing myself, I wasn't wearing my name tag. I walked up and I said, and I was trying to introduce myself, and this guy standing next to me said, you don't need to tell me who you are. I recognize that voice anywhere from Floss Weekly. I went, yeah,
wow.
Yeah, that was incredible. It was a lot of fun. So OSCON was great. I met a lot of cool new people. I didn't get to see much of the program there, but I got to talk to a lot of the individuals about what they were doing. And because, you know, I was looking for interviews for Floss. And
you got four, I think. We haven't aired them all.
I got three.
So we've aired a couple, but yeah, we have at least one or two more.
I got three, but I got some other names too. So we're working on those. Setting up interviews and stuff when time permits, and I'll, you know, have interviews with you. It works out all nice that way. But yeah, it was a great show. But I'll tell you, this one, the person we've got on today, Evan Prodromo, something like that, works with Identica, which is the open source, not really a clone, but sort of something similar to Twitter. So that's probably how our audience will easily identify with it.
Well, and that's how I became aware of it. Twitter was just so unreliable. It was about a month ago. It was just down.
Mm-hmm.
It was the bad month of July. And somebody said, well, you should go to Identica, IDENTI.ca. And I said, oh, it's a Twitter clone. And so I signed up and I used it for a little bit. Then Twitter came back up. And like everybody else, I went back. But what I didn't get is this much more than a Twitter clone.
Absolutely. And so Evan wrote me. This is one of the great things is if you have ideas for future shows, Merlin, M-E-R-L-Y-N, at Stonehenge.com. But Evan wrote me just a few weeks ago and said, I love the show. Would love to be on. We just really launched Identica in a big way, and I want more people to know about it. And so, again, this is great when the guests are, you know, bringing themselves to me. So it minimizes my work. I really appreciate that. It really helped out. So if you know somebody out there that should be on Floss Weekly, write me. I hope to get up a public page soon of all the requests that are outstanding right now. So I don't get a lot. I'm getting a lot of redundant requests now, but this is great.
It also gives me a sense of
like what's most important to people, because I'm getting multiple requests for the same thing, and I'm really moving faster on those.
Well, I think this is one of our most important shows, maybe not in terms of a raw audience size, but because of what we cover. I think it's so important.
Well, it's great because what it's showing is that, you know, when people have problems and want to solve it for themselves, it fills that niche for them. But then because we often have similar problems, being able to share that code with other people who might have similar problems, but maybe it's slightly off, so that it's a good thing the source code's provided so they can make modifications to it.
Right.
It's really important. It really is the backbone of what's happening today. We wouldn't have the internet. We wouldn't have the web. We wouldn't have www inside of a bus if it wasn't for open source code right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what this is, and that's really what's different about Identica. It is much more than a Twitter clone. It is an attempt to bring the idea of microblogging to the open source world, to open it up, to make it non-proprietary, so that everybody, not just Evan, but everybody can run their own. Like, it's based on Laconica. That's a software server. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is a very intriguing idea.
And I also understand Evan had something to do with WikiTravel, so we'll have to ask him about that, too.
All right, let's introduce him. From Montreal, Evan Prodromo. Hello, Evan.
Hi, Leo. Thanks for having me.
So, initially, we asked you to come on because of Laconica and Identica. But you've done more than that, and I think we probably should mention the other things, too. So we'll get to Identica in just a bit, which is basically an open source Twitter clone running on the Laconica software. But you started WikiTravel in 2003, so I think that's that predates it, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, it predates it by quite a while. So, I started WikiTravel in 2003 with my wife. We're both avid travelers, and we were having some real problems with the travel guides that we had at the time. And so we decided that we really wanted to have a, you know, more up-to-date open content guide. I don't know if you ever travel with travel guides, like, you know, I'm not going to name any names. I never do. But, you know, if you have travel guidebooks, they're often out of date. Right. You know, it may say 2007 on or 2008 on the cover. But the last time someone was actually in the city was, you know, 3, 4, 5 years before. And, you know, we were getting frustrated with it. We wanted to have a kind of travel guide that would be updated more frequently. So we had both seen Wikipedia. We really liked the project, and we thought that it was a good application of Wiki technology was to travel guides.
I'm looking at WikiTravel, and it's pretty clearly Wikimedia, the software that's running on Wikipedia too, right?
Oh, yeah. I think there were a couple of others, but we were one of the first sites to actually use MediaWiki. The names are terrible.
MediaWiki.
MediaWiki is the software. Wikimedia is the organization.
Right.
Wikipedia is the project. I actually registered MediaWiki for a while.
MediaMiki. I like it.
MediaMiki. I knew there was someone was going to need it, but I think I still have got some of those. But it was one of the first ones, and I'm a member of the MediaWiki dev group. I think MediaWiki is a great piece of software, and it's been through a lot of development, and it's really become the gold standard for wiki software. You know,
yeah.
It's pluses and minuses, but it's a real nice piece of software. So,
well,
and
I'm looking
really
this. You know, in 5 years, you've gotten 19,000 destinations in here. I mean, it's really been a success. Yeah. Not as well known as its big brother Wikipedia, but I think for travel, this looks like a great resource.
It's a fantastic resource. We just
remember
launched,
contributing to it a bit.
Go ahead, Randall.
I'm contributing to it back in the early days, where after the areas that I was familiar with, like my home and the places I'd gone to frequently. So I remember, like, almost immediately after it was announced, I was contributing to it.
It's a natural use of a wiki, I think.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I also, and he addressed this just a moment ago, you addressed this, Evan, a moment ago, is that you say that, like, even if a travel guide is published in 2008, it might be a couple years of old information, but often those guides get information from other guides, which themselves are old. So you end up with this cascading problems. I mean, there's stuff listed in recently published travel guides for Portland, Oregon, my home area, that, you know, things have been gone for 4 years, you know.
Yeah, and it's just amazing, and it's you know, it's really frustrating, the round trip on any kind of feedback to, you know, typical travel guides, printed travel guides is really poor. You know, they'll typically take your suggestions into consideration, and maybe the next time they send a writer out, they'll do it. But yeah, travel guides are on a 3 to 5 year editorial cycle. So they are on a long editorial cycle, which means that, you know, the world changes a lot faster than that.
Right,
And, you know, that's one of the reasons that WikiTravel is really nice. I think one of the things that's been a little bit of a problem with WikiTravel is the convenience is really nice when it's on the web. And if you've got a mobile device, it can be really convenient. But one of the things we started this year was WikiTravel Press. So we're doing printed version of the guides that are on WikiTravel. And we're doing them either on a monthly or quarterly editorial cycle. So that way, you know, people can get the guides in a printed format that's really convenient for carrying around, which I think is nice.
And this is about 16 or 17 languages and And this, this is
great. We've got lots of different languages. We've got Esperanto. We've got Romanian, Chinese. It's a pretty astounding number of things.
Well, it's really great.
We have a Hungarian version, which is it was really interesting when we started the Hungarian version. I always ask travelers, people who are interested, what other resource options do you have in your language? And the Hungarians, told me that the most recent travel guides that they had were Soviet era guides in Hungarian to, Cuba and Angola and things like that. There wasn't anything available in Hungarian. And I think that's really, I think my goal is to have a really great, travel guide to Iceland in Portuguese and vice versa, and have people able to get to that information. So
this is such a good idea. I mean, it really isn't about open source programming. I guess it's running on open source software, but I think it's worth plugging it, get the word out a little bit that this exists and what a good resource it is.
Well, I think that I always kind of take it to heart, that the open source idea where we're sharing information and letting lots of people contribute, that many eyes make shallow bugs. This applies to open content as well as it does to open source. There are some minor differentiations, but I think it's really great when we can do this and make things make things together and contribute and share it with each other. So
yeah, mm-hmm. Source code content, not that much different, really.
Not that much different, especially if you have your nose in source code for a long time. Right. You don't really see the difference that much.
Right, right. Let's move on to Laconica and Identa.ca because. That's where I first became aware of you. First of all, when did you start the Laconica project?
I actually started it this year. There's a little bit of a story behind it. From WikiTravel, I've done lots of other open source development. I'm a Debian developer. I've been active with Creative Commons. I was invited earlier this year to a little mini summit at the FSF, the Free Software Foundation, about free network services. Mm. And kind of the question that we were addressing was how, in a world where we're doing so much of our computing on someone else's computer, either through web services or through, these various websites, we're storing all of our data on someone else's computer. How can we have the same kind of freedom that we expect from free software when, our computer programs and our data is running on someone else's computer? And so the idea was to try and define what it would mean to have free network services, that gave the users the same kind of freedom that that they expect from free software running on their own computers. And it was a really great conference, and I hadn't really been addressing the issue before, but I came out of it pretty energized, and I thought, well, let's see what it would be like to do this. What if we started a free software alternative to some of these very popular services? And Leo, that probably one of the most popular services right now on the web is Twitter.
Yes, I do know that. I noticed that. Yes,
that had kind of crossed your attention, I guess.
Yes.
And I thought, well, let me see what it would take to do an open source alternative to Twitter, and what form would that take? And so that's when I started the Laconica project, and that was in April of this year. I thought it was going to be relatively easy, actually, when I started up, and it's turned out it's gotten harder and harder the more I've done. But it's been an exciting project. And really, the idea was to see what we could do to make a microblogging platform that people could use with the same kind of confidence that they use free software with. And I hope we're getting there. I feel like we are. So
it's written in Ruby, Perl?
No, PHP.
PHP, baby.
It's the working man's language.
Yeah.
None of that snooty Ruby stuff.
That's I had a hammer. And a lot of people say that part of the problem Twitter's suffering from, although not Randall Schwartz, but a lot of people say it has to do with the choice of Ruby on Rails. You feel the PHP scales nicely for you?
Huh?
It scales nicely for you?
So the main reason I went with PHP is this, that my interest, and just let me kind of back up for a second and say how kind of Laconica works. It's a Twitter-like website.
Right.
But
you can go to IDENTI.ca to see the trick.
Yeah.
But others can download this software and run it. Actually, I'll let you describe it, but then it's also distributed.
Exactly. And that's the key part, is that it's distributed. And I want people to be able to take this software and install it on their own servers. And in fact, I want them to be able to install it on the cheapest, rattiest, you know, $298 a month, safe mode PHP system out there. And I'd love to have just the I would love to have it as easy and ubiquitous as WordPress, you know, something that people can just put it up on cheap systems and push it out there.
So PHP is definitely the right choice for that.
And PHP is definitely the right choice for that. You just don't see that with Ruby on Rails.
No.
And maybe we will in a few years, but it's just not the way it's going to work right now.
So, I've tried to set up Ruby in a Ruby server, and it's just ridiculous.
It's pretty tough. Yeah. I mean, I love Ruby on Rails. I think it's an amazing framework. It's a real pleasant to program with. I actually did the first version of this software in Ruby on Rails.
It's good for prototyping, for sure.
It's awesome for prototyping. I feel like I ended up programming for the framework more than programming for the features that I wanted.
Right.
And, so eventually I just said, hey, you know, let's do this in PHP. That's what we need to do anyways. So, when it comes down to it, when you're doing open source software that's got to be distributed out there, I feel like PHP and MySQL is the go-to answer right now in 2008. And that may change, you know, in a couple of years, but that's where it is right now. So,
well, they're amazingly prevalent. That's probably most of it, because you really can find like lots and lots of hosting services that provide it, and a lot of people to kind of help you with it, because it is sort of the low barrier to entry. Both of those are really sort of like really easy on the on-ramp on both of those.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is that, you know, building an open source community, which you have to do with any kind of open source software. Well, you don't have to do it, but it's the way that you get things going. You know, there are an awful lot of people out there doing PHP, and they love doing it. So I had the good luck, by the way, on a little PHP story here. Just before OSCON 2008, this year, a character showed up in our IRC channel named Rasmus, and I thought, no, it couldn't be. And it was. It was Rasmus Lerdorf who was a creator of PHP. And he said, I'm going to be doing a presentation on PHP optimization at OSCON, and I'm going to be talking about your program.
Cool.
And so he actually did a presentation about Laconica at OSCON. It was a little painful because he pointed out a lot of things that needed some work.
We don't recommend you do it this way.
Pretty much,
but
that's how it was.
Yeah.
So you were the before picture, not the after picture, huh?
It wasn't that bad. Now, come on.
But it was great. I mean, it was really helpful, and he's well known for just great code reviews. So, maybe I would have gotten David Hanmeyer Hansen to do the same thing, but it was really great having Rasmus do that.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the distributed nature of it. If I set up a Laconica server on my server, and people go to it, let's call it Twitter.ca.
Oh, yeah.
That'll really confuse. I'll take that, Ev. Call it twit.ca. And you go there.
Yeah.
Is it a silo? Do the posts that people make on my site, are they visible anywhere else? When you say distributed, what does that mean?
When I say distributed, I mean distributed. What I would love to have happen, and Leo, I'm going to say this right here on the air, the second that you want to install this software, I will be there to help you. I would love to have you install
it. I'll do it.
All right.
I'm tired of being held hostage by Twitter. Open source, baby!
You know, you're driving traffic towards Evan Williams.
Yeah, why should he be benefiting from that?
Absolutely.
So if people, let's say I put it up on a Twit page.
Yeah.
I presume I can control it with CSS just like anything else. I can make the fonts be whatever I want and all that stuff. But then I type something. Does it go to every Laconica server everywhere? How does that work?
What happens is that people go to your site and they say, hey, I like what this Leo Laporte, I like his ideas. I want to subscribe to his newsletter. And there's a button right underneath your, just like on Twitter, there's a little button that says, well, ours says subscribe. It doesn't say follow, but It's
when you say
subscribe.
Ours, you're talking about Identica.
I'm talking about Laconica, yeah.
Oh, Laconica. So let's all go there now. So should we go to Laconica, or what site should we go to?
Oh, Laconica.
Identica.
Yeah, let's go to Identica.
So IDENTI.ca.
That's the one.
That's kind of, this is the canonical canonical installation of Laconica.
It really is. It's the home base for Identica, for Laconica. So if you go to Identica/Evan,
okay,
EVAN, yep, you'll see me.
All right.
And, you should have put some clothes on, man.
He's from Montreal. They don't wear clothes in Quebec.
We don't wear clothes in the summer. Clothes are for women.
For weeks.
But you should see a subscribe button under my avatar there.
Yep.
I do. And I click on it, and the system crashes. No, just kidding.
No. Identica's been very robust, actually. It's been really reliable.
This is nice. Yeah. I am subscribed.
So if you click on the subscribe, it's going to tell you, it says something like, to subscribe, you can log in or register a new account. If you were logged in, it would just subscribe you as your Identica account.
Right.
But here it's going to say, if you already have an account on a compatible microblogging site, and that's going to take you to, it's going to tell you what the compatible microblogging site, you can enter your profile URL in. And so you might put something in here like, micro.twit.tv/Leo. Right, in the URL of your profile,
right,
and you subscribe, that would take you to your home server. Your home server would say, are you sure you want to subscribe to this Evan guy? We've gotten a request for it, but we want to make sure that you really want that. It'll say yes. And then after you say yes, messages start flowing into your inbox. And that happens from server to server. It happens behind the scenes for you.
Wow.
And so, it's a really nice system. So the protocol we're using here is a really nice web authorization protocol called OAuth. It was developed over the last year, came out of the OpenID. Came out of the OpenID community, and it's just a really robust system. Lots of great crypto, and people thought this out of how can you allow a remote server to send things to you.
Cross-site authentication, basically.
Yeah. Cross-site authentication. Yeah. And so that's really what I wanted to build. This is the open microblogging standard that Laconica was the first implementation. We've got a couple of new other implementations now, which has been really exciting. And someone's building another one in Python. So, really seeing some traction around the standard itself. But most of the implementations right now are Laconica implementations. So,
Evan, do you see that Leo has subscribed you from his system now? Does he show up as one of your followers?
Yes, he would show up as one of my followers, and I would be able to, see him in my list, and I'd get a little notification, and I could go subscribe to him too if I wanted to. So,
and it would work exactly the same way in reverse. So your system would then be pulling from the Twit system, grabbing the data down.
It's not actually a pull. It's a push. It's a push.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
Yeah. Every time that Leo posts, I get a web call, and it's OAuth authenticated that says, here's this new here's this new message.
And you get OpenID free too by doing OAuth, right?
It's not quite free.
Okay. but it's not close. So hard to implement.
OpenID. Well, the OpenID stuff, I've done quite a bit of before. WikiTravel was one of the first major sites to support OpenID. So I'm a big believer in OpenID. And I think that, really the way this little open microblogging thing works is kind of the way that OpenID authentication works. So
right.
I'd like to see that get a little closer, and become a little bit easier to do if you have a single ID. Mm-hmm. But we'll see how that develops. But it's a very nice system. It works really well. We've got right now somewhere south of 50 installed servers out there. People, doing lots of,
so
we've got lots of people out there.
Randall has always said, I don't want to take the words out of your mouth, so I'll let you say it, Randall, but the issue with Twitter is not that it's using Rails. It's that the schema wasn't well designed to begin with. The database schema wasn't well. Is that right?
I'm passing that along from what I've heard, but it's basically that it uses a blogging model rather than a messaging model. And I noticed in some of your dev wiki, I was checking out this morning, that you actually also looking at moving to a messaging model, right?
Absolutely. And we really think that that's the only way to go. I think when the original, you know, the name for this kind of site is microblogging, and that's right. what we call it. But it's so not blogging. It's so much about messaging and so much about broadcast messages. And it goes out over all these different channels. You know, we go out over IM, over SMS, over RSS, over, you know, email and all these things. And you know, messages are going all different directions, and really treating it like a, you know, like a content management system it eventually is going to lose. So we're going to be moving to a messaging model. Of course, you know, coming from a content management world, that's the first implementation I did. But you know, Laconica is gradually moving to more of a message-based system. And I think that we're going to be moving a lot faster into this fall. There are some really cool systems out there for doing queues and messaging. Apache ActiveMQ, which is a really nice one. And mm-hmm. there are some standards that are developing, the AMQP standard, which is pretty neat. So I think we're going to be able to really kind of move there. It's kind of funny with Identica. Oh, sorry.
The inter-host communication protocol, and watch me get geeky for a second here, but the inter-host communication protocol, is that fairly open in the sense that if I wanted to come along and implement it with a different programming language because I want to do a whole different layer inside, would it be, you know, would it just be writing some code, or is it the protocol is actually tied to the PHP and stuff that you have in there?
You could easily write this. So once you have an OAuth conversation going, yes. there's just add a few parameters on top of that, the kind of, you know, ride along parameters that go wow. with the OAuth process. So it should be, if you have a good OAuth library, and there are good OAuth libraries for most programming languages right now, okay. It should be relatively easy to do. So wow. if you wanted to do it in, you know, Python or Ruby or that kind of thing, shouldn't be hard. And then the actual messages is straightforward.
And the public timeline on your system on Identica, though, is only the people posting that are registered at
yeah. that. That's right. That's
okay.
right.
So if Leo set up a Twit server, and all the Twit army all registered there, our public timeline would be our local messages, but not anybody from yours, even if any people on Twit system were also cross-linking to Identica and the other 50 systems.
Exactly. They would see them in their, they would see Identica stuff in their inbox, and but they wouldn't see it in their, they wouldn't see it in the public timeline. And that kind of came out of the idea that this public timeline is supposed to kind of be the community's timeline. You know, if the Twit timeline was like full of stuff from Identica, you know, would that really reflect the people there? Mm-hmm. That said, we've had some requests to have a full timeline that has all the messages that have come in, and I think we'll probably have that as a configuration.
It could be
option.
A switch. Yeah, it should be a switch because yeah. I mean, when I first heard the notion of distributed, I thought, oh, this is a way of distributing the load. But you really are creating individual communities that have somewhat loose bindings between them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the model that I'm kind of trying to follow is email. You know, you have different right. Different servers that have different domains. Yeah. And on those domains, you'll have users that are on there, and they can talk to each other just using their names. But if they go across domains, they have to address them. But they're all, you know, interconnected. And as long as they're speaking the same simple protocol, you know, they work pretty well. And that's really the idea of the distribution. So,
incredible.
Yeah, it's really the where we have to go. And I love Twitter. I think it's a great service. However, I think it's become a really important form of communications. And when that happens, I think the internet kind of has to take control of it. And this is going to happen, you know, and I just hope it's going to happen in a nice open source way where people are kind of respectful of our internet traditions that way, mm-hmm. of this distribution and openness. So
I'm trying to get my head around what it might look like. So if you are a member of my Twitter, I mean, my Twit community.
Yeah.
Take that, Ev! If you're a member of my Twit community.
Twit Army. We just call it Twit Army.
Twit Army.
TwitArmy.com would be good. Is that registered?
It is now.
GoDaddy race. I know.
That's the problem with doing this live. You can't. No secrets. So I'm just thinking. So I would have. Okay. So it would just. I love this, actually. I love this idea. So it would just be, you know, the people who decided to be part of that community, but they could have they could follow people in any other Laconica community.
Exactly.
And they could send them messages with the at sign, just as they would in my community. And you could get, and they could get messages from you using the at sign.
Yep.
And
that's right.
Maybe someday we'll have a unified timeline, but we don't need to have that. We can have our own timeline. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the unified timeline would happen like somewhere, you know, somewhere up in a cloud somewhere. And I think that there are already some people who are talking about doing that.
I like this though. I mean, I think this is look at what we do as internet broadcasters. We set up communities. So yeah, exactly. Why should the community be on Twitter? It's too big, ungainly anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe part of the problem with microblogging is not that the schemas are bad, but that the communities have gotten too big.
Yeah.
When I blog to 55,000 people, it's kind of nonsensical.
Now, I just occurred to me for something. Could somebody? I know, like on FriendFeed, they've set up the idea of a foreign person that you can subscribe to, but who's actually really represents something else. Would it be possible within Laconica to identify maybe a proxy person so they could get their Twitters in and out from Twitter.com? Or is that?
Yeah, it's a really good idea. Actually, I like it a lot. We have one group of people who's working on that. So they're working on putting a kind of a proxy of Twitter, and I'm trying to remember the name. I think it's like innertweet.com or open tweet, maybe that's it.
But so if it is an email like system, they should all intercommunicate.
Yeah, they really should.
We're in the days of microblogging that we were in the early days of you had MCI mail or Genie and you couldn't email each other. You guys are too young to remember that, but
remember exclamation point notation, bang bang pow.
That's what I do. I do that talk. I always do this one, which is like AOL and CompuServe.
Right.
Like you were on AOL, you couldn't send email to someone on CompuServe, and it was, you know, or you had to keep multiple addresses open, and then finally, you know, Randall doesn't remember this. He had an email address back then. So.
Oh no! I remember. I had an email address back when there was rocks. I mean,
you're an old time. But I was 75106,3135, and you couldn't use the AOL to email me. And I was on MCI mail, and they had some weird syntax there too. So this now I kind of get it. It makes a little bit more sense if you put it in the mail context.
Yeah.
But it is more than mail because it is community based.
Yeah. And we are, you know, we're really trying to emphasize community because it's really about that community and building up community. And, you know, I think we're going to balance it out. My real hope, I'm a big open source advocate, but I'm also a big advocate of open standards. And I hope that as we kind of develop the standard, we'll see some of the existing microblogging sites adopt the standard and you know, be able to use it. And I hope that happens. I think the pressure on those sites is going to be more people putting Laconica out there on their own servers and making it, run and building this network. And, but I think it's a real, it's really time to take this to the next level.
Well, you're already at the domination point because let's see, you've got 50 machines. It's already 49 more than Twitter has.
Now, if it's the other advantage of open source, I mean, this is when any of these microblogging services start up and they're now, you know, a half a dozen or more, they have to do an API because, you know, a lot of it is that you want to create an ecology, but open source, it's so much better than an API. I mean, you're giving people lots of ways to hook in, I presume.
Oh yeah, I'm getting a little bit scared about how many ways we're going. We're giving people a hook in, but so we've got a way for people to get to subscribe with that open microblogging format. We're going to be Randall mentioned the RSS. That FranFeed does, and we'll probably be doing something like that. I've been talking to Dave Weiner about using a really cool system that isn't very frequently used in RSS, the RSS clouds for doing push-pull type stuff. XMPP is also an awesome... XMPP is the protocol that drives Jabber and Gtalk.
Right.
And we support that under the covers right now. We're going to be exposing that a little bit more for inter-domain communication, which I think will be really cool. It's a very scalable system, so that's really where we want to see things go, is have this inter-domain communication working that well. So, and I think that, you know, the more that we make it, probably the big thing that we did this in this last month is we cloned the Twitter API. And there were a lot of members of the open source, the Laconica dev group, who were like, nah, don't do that. It's not that great an API. You know, let's do a new API. But we ended up using the Twitter API, and that's turned out to be just a total home run, because that meant that everyone that was using the Twitter API for desktop clients or for third-party web servers or that kind of thing, they can just change the URL and point it towards Identica, and then they've got, you know, they've got Identica support. So that's been really neat. We'll probably end up supporting some other system, other APIs. I'm really a big fan of the Atom Publishing API, so we might be supporting that sometime soon. But you know, there's just when you do this kind of open system, it's got to be open. You got to let people get stuff in there. So
you do have an RSS feed. It's not that you don't have an RSS feed of the timeline.
Oh yeah, we got RSS feeds of pretty much everything.
Right.
you can't throw any data past this system without some RSS feeds coming out of it. So
and IM works, unlike Twitter, which has been saying they were going to get their IM working for a long time. But again, to be fair to Evan and obvious, you don't have the scaling issues that Twitter has. They have millions of users.
Oh no, absolutely not. And I think that, you know, I don't want to, you know, it's not my. I think that Twitter's doing a really great job keeping their site going. It's a really difficult prospect.
Yeah.
I am really glad to see them having these problems right now, because A, it means that more users are using my site.
Right.
And B, I get to see, you know, what problems we're going to get to.
Right.
You know, a year from now or 6 months from now, you know, and that's going to be really helpful. So we're kind of, you know, drafting off them like a bicyclist, able to see what their scaling problems are. At the same time, we've got a little different scaling problem than they do. I mean, they've only got to have one implementation, right? The Twitter implementation, one big implementation. We have to truly scale, you know, go down from that $298 per month ratty web hosting server
right.
all the way up to Identica, which I hope to have, you know, millions of users on eventually.
Right,
so,
right.
And so that presents some different challenges in terms of the coding. So
you have a lot of the features, in fact, some other features that Twitter lacks, but you have a full search by name, which works, unlike Twitter, and by contents, like Sumize. Yep. Twitter actually had to buy a company to make that work. You support tags, which is something that kind of, it's interesting. You get the advantage of watching what became useful on Twitter and implementing it internally. I mean, Twitter never implemented tags. It's all been kind of jerry-rigged together, but you actually built it in.
Yeah, and that's been really good. Well, I think the other nice thing is that we get to, like you said, there's this kind of third-party ecology that evolved around Twitter. And one, we, you know, we're kind of compatible with Twitter, so those sites can be using ours. So there are, I think TweetScan uses Identica code now.
Oh, really?
Or Identica data. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, which is nice. You know, we can also kind of suck some of this stuff into the core software. So,
right.
And we could do some things that, you know, Twitter just wouldn't be interested in. I mean, a lot of our users are open source. Users, so we're going to be rolling out an IRC bot, you know, on the major IRC
that's awesome.
Network.
That's great.
Yay,
you know,
yay.
Where the open source people are, you know, that's where they're going to be. So, that's the kind of thing that, you know, probably kind of goes under the radar for Twitter, but, you know, matters a lot for our communities. And there are going to be other kind of communities where that they're going to have different channels that are going to matter a lot, you know, and they can put in different plugins to make that work.
Do you also find that because it's open source, you can implement features faster? You have more developers working on it?
We have gone so fast in the last 6 weeks since we launched.
No kidding.
We've just been like bang, bang, bang. Lots of new stuff coming out. And it's been surprising to me. I've been amazed at how many people, you know, just care about this kind of system and are willing to put in lots of time and effort to make it work. And, you know, it's been humbling, really. the effort that people have put in. We've had a lot of code contributions, which has been great. We've had a lot of people, you know, talking about the system, and a lot of staunch advocates, which has been so, you know, so impressive. One of the things that's really impressed me is that we set up a translation system. So we're multilingual right now.
That's neat.
We've got a translation server, and people are going on there and translating the interface. And we've got somewhere north of 20 languages there, and growing every day, adding a language every couple days. So it's going pretty well, and that's going to go in with the next release. We just have English and French in production right now, but we're going to be coming out with German, Portuguese, Spanish, Chinese, Arabic, Russian, you know, the whole thing. And I think that that's another great thing. I mean, that's one thing you get out of open source software. It's those people scratching a niche, you know.
Now, how does that work? Does that mean you could do two-way translation? I mean, like, I could subscribe to somebody who speaks only, say, Brazilian, and my post would show up as Brazilian for them, and their post would show up as English for me?
That would be awesome. No.
can you write that, Randall? Because we'd like to do that. That's a great idea. Get to work on
apparently
that.
That isn't what he meant.
No, I was just talking about the interface, the user interface.
But, you know, you could do that using Google Translate. I'm sure they have a hook. It probably wouldn't be that hard to do.
That wouldn't actually be that hard to do. And, you know, it would be kind of junky. It would just be machine translation, but it'd be better than nothing.
You know, Google does a pretty good job, better than Babelfish. I mean, it does a pretty good job. I'm impressed. Yeah,
I'm going to log this one. I like that idea.
So this raises an interesting question. When you're when you're somebody like Evan Williams, you can have a vision for what Twitter is, and a single guy can hold in his head this idea and vision. A little harder in an open source community, or is it? I mean, I imagine the method of feature additions is somewhat different. Is it more democratic?
Democratic in terms of being messy.
Yes.
Yes, that's definitely this the case. It's a pretty the way the open source world works is really so much about people scratching their own itches, you know, and doing what works for them. So I get a lot of contributions from people who are just trying to do something that works for their own community or for themselves. I've got a couple of developers who are working for me and me. And so we're concentrating on kind of core stuff, and then the community is kind of throwing things in that we really need. And we have a public bug ticket system, and we've got a public feature request system. So people are putting ideas in there, and then other people are out there cherry picking those ideas and getting them done and sending me patches, which has just been great. So we use the Tract system, which is really nice and simple for people to kind of join in and start participating. Mm-hmm. So.
Now, how hard is this to install? Let's take somebody, say, of slightly higher than average intelligence, like Leo, and presume he had a system set up somewhere, and he knew where he wanted to host, had a domain name and stuff. What does he need to have, make sure is on the box, and is this something that's up and running in 15 minutes, or does it take 2 hours, or a week, or what? What's kind of the level
there? It's probably kind of in the two-hour level. I'm embarrassed to say, because I would really, you know, like I was saying, I really want this to be ubiquitous. And what I'm concentrating on right now is getting the install system better. Right now, you have to pull in. We have about 6 or 7 PHP dependencies, different libraries that we use. And you have to go install those through pair. And then you have to run a MySQL script to set up the schema. Mm-hmm. And then create a little config file. Actually, you just copy the sample config file and change the passwords and stuff. Sure. And so it's not terrible. It's not the worst in the world, but it should be better. And I'd really like it to be. I don't know if you've ever tried installing WordPress.
It's very easy to install WordPress.
Yeah, you just say, you know, this is my database and this is my password, and you hit OK, and it's actually a little smug. It says, you know, you thought it would be harder. That's about all. So, and I'd like it to be that easy. You know, just point it at the database and go. We're not there yet. I'd like it to get there. So
That's still not bad, though. I mean, as long as you're not taking adding any customization or anything, it sounds like, you know, almost anybody can help become part of this network of microblading.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to start right now, and I'll let you know if I'm done before the show's over.
Don't do it, Lee. It'll take your network down.
Well, no, I'll do it on a different page than the Twit. And
okay,
but I'm looking at it. You go to Laconica, LACONI.ca, and you know you've got it's a wiki and it's pretty straightforward. You're using Track and it looks pretty straightforward. So I'm logging into my server right now and let's see what happens.
All right. Uh oh.
And the whole network goes
down.
Oh,
I know. So at least
I got Evan on the line. I can ask him a question.
That's right.
I was going to say here. I thought I was going to be on Floss Weekly, and I'm really doing a tech support call.
Yeah.
Get used to it. on a slightly different topic, you mentioned in the sheet you sent us autonomous. What's autonomous?
Well, autonomous is the. I think I mentioned earlier the free software group that I met up with in earlier this year. And kind of what we came out of that meeting with was a decision to keep thinking about these problems. We didn't really come out with a solution. We know how this is going to work, but we decided we'd keep thinking about it. So we started a group blog, which is called Autonomous. It's autonomo.us. Can you tell that I like the catchy
the country TLDs? I like it. Yeah.
I'm a sucker for them. So we've got I will cop to the fact that I registered autonomous, but and the idea comes from that of autonomy, of being able to make your own decisions, having the freedom to make your own decisions and decide yourself. We are just exploring the idea of what it means to be autonomous in the cloud, in a world of cloud computing. I've been talking about this in terms of freedom for users, and that's really important. One of the people that I've really been inspired by has been Tim O'Reilly, who spoke about this at OSCON this year very forcefully about vendor lock-in. If you put if you start putting your business onto a web service and your data is in there and you're running code on there and then you can't move and you can't leave, you've got a serious business problem and you need to, correct that. So being able to be autonomous is important for businesses too. It's crucial. We started this autonomous group and it's got people from Creative Commons, from the Open Knowledge Foundation, from the FSF, from Software Freedom Law Center. And we're just kind of, brainstorming and pointing to ideas and trying to get the conversation started and getting people who are working on free software for network services and freedom and network services to be talking and bringing them all together. So that's really the idea behind Autonomous. And it's been fun.
Cool.
So let's see. I have to install Darks. No, I don't have Darks installed, so I have to install Darks.
Oh, you don't have to install Darks. You can just install the tarball, can't you?
Well, it says on your page you don't have a tarball yet. You got a tarball?
Yes, yeah, it says source right here. Handmade tarball here, Laconica 050.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Oh, yeah, that would save me a lot of trouble.
Yeah, right. You don't want to get Darks. That's a lot of work. Yeah, it's written in Haskell.
Haskell, yeah. Yeah, I saw that and I thought, oh boy.
Yeah, try compiling Haskell. That's another 3 hours there.
Right, so where handmade tarball? I see it. There it is. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
There's a little handmade tarball.
All right.
Again, that's it's something that's got to happen. So, a little better installation. I'm a Debian developer, so I hope to get this into Debian sometime soon, and see the other distros start supporting it too. So. Okay. Because I think it's just a nice piece of software.
So should I just build it from source?
You should be able to just copy it to your web directory.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. It's PHP. That's what I like about PHP.
Yeah, that's what you like about PHP. Yeah, just put it where you want it. And then there's a little README under the, it's like doc/README.
Mm-hmm.
And that should tell you what you need to install for libraries. It should probably start with something that says this is a pathetically
start there
bad. Yeah. Yeah, I think it says something like that. Like, you know, this will soon be valuable, but for right now, it just tells you what libraries there are. There's also a really good. There's some good installation instructions on the wiki.
I think they're on the
top page. So yeah. If you get a little stuck, that's a good.
It's going to be that difficult. To be honest with you, it doesn't look that hard.
Yeah, it's,
there is an advantage to making it a little hard so that the you don't get tourists installing it. Well, seriously, you don't want to support, you know.
Will it run on the iPhone? That's all I want to know.
Ah.
Just kidding.
So that's a good question. You know, there's two different ways that, a site or a software like this gets supported, at least the microblogging stuff. One is, of course, features by open source other developers adding features. But the other is the ecology around it, the desktop applications, the iPhone applications, stuff like that. Are you moving along in that regard, too? You have an API.
Yeah, so we've got the API, and that's been just great.
That's
and
key.
We've just had a real good... have I said enough times that I love Twitter and they're great guys?
Yes.
I'm going to say it one more time. Love Twitter, they're great guys.
But
one of the problems that they've had is that they haven't been giving out feeds to third party developers.
Right. They've screwed the third party developers over and over again. Let's face it.
Yeah, and we were able to kind of pick up a lot of third party developers by saying, "Hey, we've got the feeds. You know, they're right there. Just tell us. We'll send it to you. No questions asked." So, and that's been really good. And people have been able to get. Do you use Twirl?
Yeah, I love Twirl. I would love to have Twirl support Identica. Oh, it does. It does. It has Identica support. That's right.
It does. It has Identica support.
Thank you, Loic. That's great.
Loic and the Seismic Gang have been just awesome supporting Identica. They're big fans, and tell their story. They had developed a big feature in Twirl where you wouldn't have to reload, all your messages. It would just tap into the IM feed. And use the IM feed.
Cool.
Well, when Twitter turned... Well, yeah, except
but,
Twitter turned
yeah.
off the IM feed.
Yeah, yeah. And it's and still so off. It'll be back any day now.
Yeah, I love that little message.
Any day now.
Mm-hmm. Working hard to restore IM.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they use the IM feed from Identica. So you actually get a better performance, a better experience in Twirl from the Identica side than from the Twitter side. Well... From my point of view, I think it works nicer. You get updates in real time rather than on a periodic thing. So
I see you install Markdown. Does this support Markdown?
Yeah, the Markdown is just for documentation.
Oh, so we too do, bad. It'd be nice to have Markdown in this.
Yeah, it would be kind of neat, huh? That's not a bad idea. And heck, we've got the library there,
right?
You know what? Leo, are you?
I know more about microblogging than any human alive.
I guess so.
I mean, I live in microblogs, and I have a lot of strong thoughts about how it could be better. I've played with all of them too. So that's the other thing is I kind of have a Jones for them. But I am a member on Identica, and I think I'm going to set up. What should I call it? Not Twitter.
On Twitter.
I think I'm going to call it Tweet.
Yeah.
They stole my name. I'm going to steal their name. we could get in trouble because the only reason there's been no trademark problems is because I'm not a microblogging service and they're not a podcast service. So I have to figure out
Leo,
something.
Leo, I couldn't find you on Identica. Are you actually on Identica?
I'm Leo Laporte on Identica, yeah.
Well, when I did a people search for Leo Laporte, I didn't find it.
Search for one word. One word, Leo Laporte.
Oh, that's
there I am.
There he is.
Oh, there we go. Follow this guy.
And I'm going to... Oh, you're not Randall L. Salt Lake City, so I'm not going to follow him.
Nope, not quite. I'm Merlin, I think, probably on there.
Yeah.
There we go. Now I've got two people I'm following. Yay.
it's really fun. So what other features, what other clients, what's in the works for Identica?
So, a couple things that are in the works for Identica. One is better migration for people who are already on Twitter. So we want to make it easier for you to move to Twitter if you're already on that.
Move to or from Twitter?
Move from Twitter to Identica.
Okay, yeah.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
I'll let I'll let Obvious work on the other direction. Yeah,
that's their problem.
We'll work on this one.
But so, yeah, I'd like to find all my Twitter friends, for instance, on there. The problem
exactly.
is, as they continue to peel pieces off their API, this is getting harder and harder and harder.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, so that's getting trickier. And we're going to just try and do it as fast as we can.
Yeah.
Ev
is probably listening right now going, quick, turn it off. No more scraping.
Tapping into some of the other social network systems. Like I said, we've got IM through Jabber and GTalk right now. I'd like to be going out over IRC and AIM. Our mobile system right now, I'd like to have better mobile coverage. So better mobile third party apps, or if we need to, we'll develop apps for
like an iPhone app or something like that.
iPhone
app, a Twitterberry type of thing, yeah.
Exactly. Make these things work a little bit better on the mobile thing, because mobile is such an important thing with microblogging. I mean, it's just so great getting updates on mobile.
You know what I'm really impressed with is, and it's an add-on on Twitter, but location-based stuff with things like the iPhone, the ability to pinpoint your location and things. It's really, this is what Jaiku, yeah. Randall and I were big Jaiku fans. This is what Jaiku did so
exactly.
well.
You know what? That's the other nice thing about Identica is that we get to kind of cherry pick from all the systems. Like, I love Jaiku's got great conversations and threading, and I think that's a really
good
system.
Could you do
that
in Identica? Would that be hard to implement?
We've got a really strong Jaiku contingent on Identica, so we're designing how we're going to do that to make sure that we keep things work okay for people who are familiar with Twitter, but also, you know, work right for people who are used to Jaiku. Similarly, I love Pounce.
You know, the media rich environment in Pounce is great.
Exactly. Yeah. Media rich thing is nice in Pounce. Making that work so it fits into a Twitter type thing is going to be a little bit tricky, but I think that we're going to be able to do it, and that's going to be pretty crucial too. My goal is to really take something that's cool, the nice format of microblogging, and kind of expand it to micro podcasting or micro video casting.
Oh, I like that.
You know, have the kind of attachments. Well, I talked to Dave Weiner, and he was like, "Oh yeah, great idea, good idea. That's what that's what we should be doing with this microblogging." So moving towards that, where you can upload voice or record voice online, and with microblogging, you don't have to think through a long blog post. You just say, "Hey, I'm at work right now." So,
right. Well, also though, you don't have to implement it. If you look at, again, you have such an advantage by watching what happened at Twitter. If you look at what happened at Twitter, all of these things were kind of implemented by third parties like Udders, or Quick, or Flixwagon, and Twitter just kind of sat there passively and allowed it to happen.
Yeah. Well, my thing is that if we're not doing it, like we're getting third party, members of the open source community are pushing this stuff into our site. Anyways, like our hashtag thing is open source developer push this in. So, and it was like, all right, great.
It works great. You know, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and we're trying to really make sure that we've got some rich, valuable data that can be, flowing out to, I want those third party downstream users to have lots of data to be going through. So the more knowledge and smarts we can put into that data, the better. So.
By the way, if people are on Identica and listening, and I know a lot of people are, please go ahead and message me. I'm watching the messages come in, and people who have questions for Evan or want to know more about the direction Identica is going to take. I know you all have a very strong interest in this. Steve Gilmore has been a huge supporter. He loves Identica.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's been so he's definitely such a thinker about this kind of on the web and social software, and he's just right in the middle of that. And I think that he's been a great help in just kind of focusing on features and what do we need to do and what do we not need to do, and that's been really good. So.
It makes sense. This is really the way to do it. It should be an open source project.
Yeah.
It should be a community driven thing. And I think this makes perfect sense, Evan. This is the way it's going to grow. Instead of, it happened with instant messaging where you had all these silos and there was no intercommunication, and it really didn't grow as fast or as well as it could have had people had a chance to make it themselves.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Well, I think also, you know, when you start talking about enterprise use, you know, people inside big companies are not going to put their valuable internal right. communications out on a third-party server. They're just never going to do it.
Right.
So, you know, having a open source software that they can install inside their firewall, that they can hook into their Active Directory or LDAP server or whatever, you know, that's a real boon. And then they can kind of have the fine grained control to say, yes, we're going to share our messages with these partners, or certain stuff can be public, certain stuff can be private. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of people in that world who haven't jumped onto the microblogging bandwagon yet because they don't have the same kind of control.
Yeah.
Leo, can you see all these messages coming in?
Yeah. I set it up to SMS me, and I'm getting quite a few text messages.
Oh, good.
There's quite a few of them. It's wonderful. I'm thrilled. I'm totally intrigued by the idea of the community creating something like this. I am absolutely going to set up a Laconica server over at TwitLive, because this makes sense. You know, we have a smaller community. They're tight-knit. They would probably like to have their own little thing going on. I don't want to be the next Twitter or even the next Identica, but it's great if we can interface with Identica.
Yeah.
I would love that to happen.
It's going to happen today. I'm doing it right now.
Okay. Right?
I'm just setting up CPAN so I can download all these Perl...
There's no Perl things in
I'm
there.
Sorry. There's no Perl. It's never mind.
Pear.
I don't, Pear.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll stop setting up CPAN now. That's what happens when you do it with half a brain.
How about army.twit.tv?
You like that?
I like that.
Army. There you go. Now, should I name the directory? I guess I should name the directory that, huh?
Don't know.
Does that matter, Evan, what I name the directory?
No, you probably want to set it up as a virtual host, don't you? Like Army, you know, in your Apache config.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea, huh?
Yeah.
Because I was going to put it on twitlive.tv. I was thinking maybe twitlive.tv/army. But you think a virtual host would be better? VHost would be better.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Host name. Because he's going to add all those things after it. So you want to keep that as sure
you're
as
right.
you can.
You're right. Got
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Deal.
So here, I'm looking through your questions right now.
Yeah.
Totally.
Pick the questions you want. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. Here's one. It's from Brian Hendrickson, who's one of the developers who created an alternate implementation of the Open Microblogging standard, Open Microblogger. And he's at openmicroblogger.com. I think that's right.
Okay.
And he said, I wrote the other implementation of Evan's protocol, but he said there were a couple of other implementations. Jisko.net, JISKO.net. We've started talking, and I think they're on their way to an implementation. I'm not sure where they are. So when I said a couple of other implementations, that's who else I was thinking of.
So Open Microblogger is not Laconica.
Nope. It's a
it's DB totally, script, it looks like, or something. Yeah.
Totally other set of software. So, which I think is great. And Brian just whipped that up. So, you know, and he's been great. We've been debugging some, we had a couple of problems with it. I think they're almost done with, I think we might have some other stuff. To do, let's see, we've got a couple of other ones.
And this is interface, but it looks like it's interfacing with Identica.
Yeah, it is. That's the whole idea.
Cool. Okay. Wow. Yeah, so great. Open that you don't even have to run Laconica software.
Yes. Oh, that's the whole idea.
Right.
Yeah. So we've got this open standard, and it's open microblogging is the standard, and you know, we're trying to it's at a 0.1 level right now. I'm going to try and take it to another level in the next few weeks and get some more information in there, get a little more fine tuning with it. But, you know, my hope is that we go to a 1.0 sometime in early 2009 and that, you know, more and more implementations of this happen. So.
Yeah. Well, this is a really exciting. Mm-hmm. Because it's taking it back, it's letting others do it, and it's letting everybody who wants to be a part of it participate.
Yeah, and that's really it. You know, I mean, I think that it's best for everyone, and that's the way this kind of system has to happen. I mean, when you think about it, like Twitter has somewhere around a million, somewhere between a million and 2 million users, something like that, and probably the rest of the microblogging systems have about that much combined.
Combined, right?
Yeah, you know, so it's a. It's probably about, you know, 1 to 3 million, somewhere in there, of people who are doing this. Well, there's a billion people online. You know, there's a there's still a lot of growth available in this area. And I think it's really going to have to happen in this kind of federated, open way.
Absolutely.
And not with like one great big server. I mean, you're just not going to have one big server that has a billion people on it. Not going to happen.
Why does K-Shep keep saying, ask Evan about track, track, track?
Oh, track, track, track. Track was a feature that's on track was a feature that was on Twitter. The idea was that you could subscribe to words or I think just words.
Yeah, that was through IM. So I could track, say, CES and find out all the posts about CES. That was a that was incredibly useful.
Yeah, it's a very nifty system. We've got third party support. I'm not exactly sure how it works, but it seems pretty nice. Identity Spy. I think if you search for that, IDENTISPY, mm-hmm. Identity Spy. And then we're working on getting it into the core software. So, I expect to have it in the core software so you can either follow tags or just follow blank words. And that's going to really, you know, first we're going to have to get that. I think we were talking about moving more to an inbox format, messaging format rather than a CMS format. That's really what we have to do before we go to that, have that track thing working. But once that happens, it's going to be a piece of cake. So
that's the same thing Twitter has to do. What does that mean to move from a CMS to a message box? What does that mean?
Yeah. So, in a CMS, we treat the, each message that we send is treated like a document, and it's given this kind of first class status of a document, and it's got an URL, and it's in a special place in the database, and when we request say a stream, like I look for my inbox on Identica, we do a query and we say, okay, what are all the messages that should be in Evan's inbox?
Right.
Well, that's really expensive. That's kind of losey in terms of search, in terms of performance.
Right.
So doing a messaging format instead is when the message is created, we kind of copy it out to everybody's inbox. And so we make lots of copies of each message. And maybe we copy it out. So just the way that email messages, don't live in one place on the network, they get copied out to lots of different inboxes around the network. The same idea would happen here. We would just copy it out. And from a data storage standpoint, you go, oh gosh, that's going to be so costly. But these messages aren't really that big. And for data retrieval, it's just, orders of magnitude faster. If you're pulling up an inbox that already knows exactly which messages it should be showing, rather than doing a query that says, let's figure out which messages have come in over the last few hours. It's just a much smarter system to do it the messaging format, and the storage is a lot cheaper now.
But it's just pull, basically.
What's that?
It'd be push rather than pull, basically.
Exactly. That's totally how it is. So, So it's something that needs to happen. But once you start putting stuff into inboxes based on subscription, you can also put stuff into inboxes based on the content. And that's really where the track thing is going. Steve Gilmore is crazy about track. So he loves the track. He thinks it's a really important part of the system.
I agree.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons that he's a big advocate of Identica is because we've got that through the third-party Identispy system.
The way to do it, just so people, because we haven't really explained this, you add a Jabber buddy named Laconica at west.spy.net. And once you've added that buddy, that contact, just type help and it'll tell you all the commands. That's Laconica at west.spy.net. And I just did it and it's great. And in fact, it has more than just tracking. It has auto posting. It has a lot of other features. So
yeah. It's a nice system.
That's very, very interesting. So what are the most requested features people want? Threading, you mentioned, is that imminent? That seems like that would be a hard thing to do.
It's not really that bad. We've got some reply tos and things like that, and so the threading isn't too tough. Where it gets and anything is better than the way Twitter does it, which is pretty much wide open. So it means that any kind of improvement is pretty good.
Yeah.
I think the big features that people are looking for, like I said, were multimedia stuff, track. having some more. We have a couple of things that Twitter supports that we don't. So favorites and direct messaging. So those are a couple things that we're going to be bringing in over the next couple of weeks.
Direct messaging probably is a big one, huh? People probably miss that.
It is. Yeah. It is. It's really tough to do across a federated boundary because unless, you know, so if Randall's got a server and I've got a server and one of my users wants to send a message to someone on Randall's server, unless that I know that Randall is a good guy and he's really going to treat
spam.
It could be spam. It could be, you know,
exposed.
It could be a, could be, you know, or Randall might take it and share it with someone else.
Right. So, I might send you my cell number and Randall says, puts it on the front page.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, so I think our first version is not going to do direct messaging across federation boundaries.
Okay.
I know that kind of isn't the best thing, but it's really the easiest in terms of determining privacy. Then we'll probably go to a whitelist blacklist model.
Or
we'll
say, maybe encryption.
Yeah.
Public key crypto would solve that.
Boy, that's the watchword for the internet right there, huh? Public key crypto would solve that problem.
All you need is public key crypto, and it's all solved. Nobody
can fit 140 characters, though.
Oh, good point. Good point. Yeah. 140 characters. I guess if you're going to support SMS, you really are. You got to do that.
You know, SMS, it's so tricky, and I really hate it. It's such a clunky channel. It's you know, it's really not very, doesn't support international stuff very well.
Right.
So if you're in if you're speaking in Japanese or in Arabic or something like that, you only get 70 characters because it's 2 bytes per character.
Because it's Unicode, yeah, so,
yeah, and it's so narrow, and it really limits us. So. But, you know, SMS is SMS, so that's what we just kind of have to live with it. I really hope that the ubiquity of smartphones improves. So, you know, over the next couple of years, we might be seeing some really better clients on, you know, the iPhone, on the Freerunner Android phones.
Right.
You know, with Symbian, you know, possibly going open source, that's going to be really cool.
Wouldn't that be neat?
Yeah. So, you know, we might see some more stuff happening there. So I hope that, you know, there's going to be a point at which we'll see more rich messaging with more information coming across that doesn't depend on SMS, which is such a narrow channel. So, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to set up a server, a Laconica server. I don't anticipate a whole lot of trouble now that I remember it's in PHP, not Perl. I think it's pretty straightforward. I like the idea, army. It'll probably be army.twit.com. Yeah, that makes sense. And
twit.tv. You don't have twit.com.
That's right. Twit.tv. You're right.
Yeah.
Again, thank you, Randall. and so that would be just kind of a community around Twit, which would undoubtedly bring down the lawyers from Evan, but bring it on, baby. And then, I can do cross boundary, you know, as you said, federation messages. I could follow, Evan on Identica. It seems like you want to build Identica into a big thing. Aren't I kind of sapping your strength by doing that?
Well, you know, there's this cool theory called the network effect.
Yes.
Which, that, you know, every time I get a telephone, if I have a telephone and you get a telephone, the telephone just became more valuable.
Twice as valuable.
So,
yep.
Yeah. So if your community gets onto this network, that means that the network has become more valuable to everyone on Identica. So it's great for me. And the other great thing is that, you know, I don't have to pay for your servers.
Right.
So that's also,
this doesn't use that much bandwidth, does it?
Oh no, it's pretty good for the web stuff. So
I'm sure it's pretty lightweight. Yeah.
It's pretty light. So, definitely. Well, like I said, if you need any help with it, we'd love to help you out. And, you know, getting people onto the network, that's what helps everyone. So,
I like the idea of that. And, you know, it just seems like it should be open. It's crazy for something like this. It's really about infrastructure should never be closed source.
Yeah. Yeah. Once we get to a point where it becomes that important, it just needs to get open sourced.
Yeah.
Open standards, open source.
So how long has this been? How long have you been doing this?
We launched on July 2nd, so it was pretty quick.
New.
So it was funny. I I had a kind of pre-launch beta for about a month and had a lot of people from the autonomous blog that I talked about, people who are involved in open source and Creative Commons, and you know, friends from here in Montreal. Montreal tech community has been so supportive of Identica. It's just been great. And got a lot of feedback. And I was actually on vacation in Incline Village, and you know, I got up early one morning and I thought, boy, you know, I should probably just go ahead. And I'd been telling people, don't give out the URL, you know, let's keep this private for a little while. And I sent out a message that said, hey, you know, if you want to blog about it, go ahead. And all of a sudden, yeah, I had 10,000 new users in 36 hours. It was crazy. It was nuts. Well, you know, the Twitter was having its worst times, right. You know, right then. And people were like, forget it. You know, I'm tired of Twitter. I'm tired. And so we got a lot of users over from Twitter because of that. So, and that's been,
I was one of them. But I didn't use it. You know, I used it a little bit, and I didn't use it that much, and because of this network effect that you talk about.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Everybody's on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. And that's really, you know, it comes down to, you know, people making the decision that they believe in this idea and they're gonna take the step. And I don't want people to have to, you know, cut their heart out to make this work. But you know, at the end of it, if you believe in an open web and an open network, you kind of need to make the step and say, hey, we need to, you know, back this up. And I've been really proud of the fact that, you know, Dave Weiner and Steve Gilmore, you know, people who are big voices on Twitter have, you know, been really supporting Identica and saying, hey, we believe that this really needs to happen. And, you know, more and more people from Creative Commons have been so supportive. People from OSCON and O'Reilly have been totally supportive, and that's just been really great. You know, just knowing that, you know, what we're doing as a development group means so much to people has been really, you know, humbling, but also seems like such an honor.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations. I think it's I think this is an idea whose time has come. It needed to happen.
Great.
Yeah, and I'm going to get behind it. So
yeah.
I don't know what that means for you, but
I'm
very excited about it. And I think it does need to be open source, and you just need to make that, you put that flag in the sand, draw that line in the sand and say, let's do it. Let's do it.
And, I'm looking forward
and how
to
do I
talk.
Update this? Is there, am I going to have to just down? I mean, when you come up with updates, how does that happen?
We just tell you there's
pain in the butt. It'll pain in the butt.
Yeah, okay. That should be easier, and it's not. You know, that's one of those things that needs to get better.
Because
so.
I want to keep up with all the neat features, and I know, believe me, if I start setting up this community, that our users are going to want that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I'll tell you right now, Leo, it's my number one priority. So I really want to see that happening.
Good. It's a done deal.
Okay. Great.
Evan, great
Thanks
to talk to you. Thank you so much. And well done. I'm just really excited about this.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me on. This is one of my favorite podcasts. I love listening to this. So I'm really looking forward to hearing it come out.
Cool. Evan Prodromou. Am I saying that right? Prodromou?
That's it.
Prodromou of Identica and Autonomous, which is a bitch to spell. AUTONOMO.US. Right?
That's it.
That's it. Is that what you'd like us to plug in the show notes?
That's perfect. Those two are great.
Okay. Identica and Autonomous. Cool. Thank you, Evan. Boy, I'm sincere, and this is the way it should be. I've just started using another service called Rejaw, which is so much better than Twitter. What they do that's interesting, and they thread it so fast. It's very Ajax-y, and they thread it so fast that it becomes a kind of moving conversation. That suddenly this IM-ish conversation that then moves on and moves on. There's so many different ways of looking at this and using it. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Well, I like that Rejaw, and I'm going to say right now that we're working on having more Ajax-y features. We've got we use jQuery, which is such a great
jQuery. Yeah,
it's so amazing.
Did you look at the Yahoo interface library or anything like that?
Did you know it's a little bit heavier weight than we needed? I like the jQuery model. I love Yahoo UI, you know, and what they're doing at that group is just so impressive. And so you know, but when it came down to it, jQuery was just met the needs of this kind of micro interface a little bit more.
Right.
So, yeah.
This is great. You know, we've broken our hearts, Randall and I, so many times. Our hearts have been broken by Jaiku and Dodgeball and Twitter, and it's on and on and on. So maybe this is just take it in hand and do it ourselves.
That's right.
Yeah,
With you being behind it, Leo, it's gonna stand.
Not necessarily. I tried to make Jaiku happen,
but then they closed up before you got finished.
I never finished. It was not going to happen. Everybody stayed at Twitter, and you know what? Sure. Everybody's going to stay at Twitter still. That's fine. I think what I'm seeing is you want micro communities just as you want micro blogs.
Yeah,
exactly. And if you have loosely connected, or maybe not so loosely connected, if you have federated micro communities, that's frankly, I think, a better way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah,
is that what you're thinking, Evan, really?
Yeah, I don't want to make people leave Twitter. I mean, I want people to leave Twitter right now. But, you know, eventually I'd love to see, I'd like to see some people who really believe in this idea be coming over to Identica and, you know, giving us the moral support that we need and the prestige in the internet community to make this work, especially people who are working on, you know, who are advocates of open source or open social stuff or, you know, OpenID, OAuth. I really hope that we'll see more of those people coming over. We've had a lot come over. But, you know, if you believe in this stuff, you kind of need to take a stand a little bit.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't really need to come over if Twitter tomorrow supported open microblogging.
Yeah, I would love that. I would love that. That would be
that
great.
Would be the real solution.
Ultimately, that's, you know, I say this and it's foolish because if you look at instant messaging, which was another very similar playing field where there really should have been standards and it never happened. But ultimately, it only makes sense that there be a microblogging standard.
Yeah.
Open standard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's been some work on this before. And, you know, I've talked to a couple of the engineers at some of these other microblogging things. Nothing, you know, that I can get a commitment on. But, right. You know, it really is going to come down to pressure from the public.
From the users.
You know, from the users. This and if users say... We want an open network, and we're willing to move to make that happen. You know, once they start losing their people, you know, that's when that's when they're going to start opening up. You know, we have to make the open network valuable for them.
Yeah, are there any businesses using this yet?
You know, I'm not aware of a lot. I talked to some people at SAP, and they're rolling it out as a pilot project.
Interesting.
There's still some things that we need to do to make sure that, you know, we've got to,
security.
Yeah. We have a little bit more privacy. Yeah. We have to have a little bit more fine grained security. That's going to be something that kind of develops as more people are doing pilots with businesses. So, I mean, the project's 3 months old,
right.
We're just getting there. So, but, I'm excited to see some more rollouts with business.
Very cool. Thank you, Evan.
All right. Thanks, Leo. Thank you so much, Randall.
Yeah, thanks, Evan. Yeah, thanks for putting up with the few reschedules we had to make this happen.
Oh, no, it was great. Such a good thing to do.
It's all my fault.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Evan Prodromo. I think this is very interesting, Randall.
This is incredible. I tell you, I mean, the more he talked, the more I saw exactly how it could fit into what you want to do. But the bigger picture is... it didn't occur to me until he talked about it, but really you can't use something like Twitter inside a business because you're going to be leaking stuff, but you can set up a Laconica server inside a business.
Internally. Yeah.
And just completely stay inside. Right. And then use OpenID internal server to do the authentication stuff. There's one central thing, or like he was saying, using LDAP and stuff like that. This is great. This is incredible.
And it answers the other issue, which is if you're building a community, you both want to have it be your community, but mm-hmm. you also want it to be open to other communities. You want exactly this, which is kind of, your own community that has loose ties to others.
Well, take a look at, you know, in my situation, like, do I register on the Smalltalk or the Pearl or the TwitArmy server? You know, where do I go? And Laconica sort of eliminates that. I can just have one identity and people can subscribe to it no matter where they are. This is great.
Well, you can with tracking, but you wouldn't have a public timeline. But I guess you would have your own. You'd have the Randall Schwartz timeline, which follows people wherever you wanted to follow them.
Exactly. So the people that I want to bring in, I can bring in. This is great. Wow.
Yeah, very intriguing.
A lot of fun. This is great. Yeah.
So I'm going to continue my setup. I'll let people know how it goes. I like the idea of army.twit.tv. I think that's probably what it's going to be.
Yep.
That's pretty easy to implement. I think mm-hmm. maybe by later tonight. I have a few more shows to do today, but I think by later tonight I might have something going. I'll be honest with you. I'm a little concerned mm-hmm. about what Twitter might say.
Really?
Yeah.
They
have a trademark for Twitter in that. This is what Evan and I finally came down to was he said, well, look, mm-hmm. we have a trademark in the microblogging space or whatever that space is. I don't know. I have their trademark somewhere, what it claims to be. Mm-hmm. And you have a trademark in the podcasting space. And so mm-hmm. because they're in different spaces, there's no issue. It would only be an issue if he started podcasting or I started microblogging.
But you're not running this to be your sole operation.
I'm not competing with him.
Yeah, you're supporting the Twit Army. That's all you're really doing is having a place for the Twit Army to hang out. So
I think it's okay. I'm going to do it anyway. And, you know, if he sends me a cease and desist, boy, that'd be great, wouldn't it? I put up with his trademark infringement. I was first. He even admitted it to me, and I have a recording of him admitting it on Inside the Net. Oh, yeah, we knew about Twit, but we decided, so what? So
this was really great getting Evan on. I had a great time chatting with him.
I like him.
You asked some good questions that I wouldn't have thought of. This is great to be back together again after a few shows that I sort of had to do on my own out from Oscon. So this is really nice.
Yeah, see, there's an advantage, although I didn't let you talk much, Randall, because this is something of near and dear to my heart, right?
Well, that's why I knew. I mean, I had actually, as I said, I had to reschedule him a couple times. And
I wasn't going to miss
thing
this
about
one.
That. Yeah. The main thing was that I was going to do him solo. And then I went, no. Leo's got to be on this call for sure. So. It's really good.
I don't know why, but there's something
Twit Army.
Yeah, there's something about microblogging that just really captures my imagination. I'm not sure why it is, and it's not. And it isn't just me talking to people. In fact, ever since I got such a big following on Twitter, it makes me not want to post. It's a little scary. Mm-hmm. It's really about having a community that you can interact with. It's about the conversation more than anything else.
The power of communication.
Yeah. Very interesting. Well, my friends, we're going to wrap up this edition of Floss Weekly. It has been a very kind of, for me, a personal Floss Weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some, it looks like, Lucy, you got some coding to do.
yes. We've got some real good shows coming up.
What's coming up?
We're going to get Asterisk next week.
Mark Spencer.
Finally, we've rescheduled them a couple times.
My fault again. I apologize.
Oh, no. This time it was theirs. They actually called up and said, no, can't make it today. Got to make it.
Mark's
next
great.
Week,
so. I've actually talked to Mark before, and I really mm-hmm. love what they're doing with Asterisk. It's really cool. The ultimate open source PBX.
And we have both Simon Phipps, the open source advocate at Sun, and also Ken Kaur of the Apache Software Foundation, both on tap right after that.
Well, if I have any trouble with the vHost, I'll ask him about that.
There you go.
Hey, Randall, thanks so much. As always, you have brought Floss back. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you've noticed, it's weekly again.
It's weekly!
Thanks to this man. Thanks to Randall Schwartz.
Thanks, Leo.
All right. We'll see you next time on Floss Weekly.